This show proudly sponsored by Real American Freestyle Wrestling. Hi, everyone. It's Brian Kilmeade here. Are you tired of those uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under a sweater? If so, then you must check out Collars & Co., makers of the Dress Collar Polo. Listen up. These shirts are four-way stretch, buttery soft polos with firm dress collars on them, so they give you the dress shirt look, but extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them with anything, under a sweater, with a blazer, or by themselves as an elevated polo. They work for any occasion. These polos are perfect, whether it's in the office, on a golf course, or a night out. Collars & Co. is exploding and have gone viral on social media thanks to the $1 million investment they received on Shark Tank from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones. You don't have to worry about collars that flop down and spread out. They stay firm and sharp all day. It's an amazing array of sweaters, quarter zips, pants, and outerwear. If you're looking for the performance dress shirt or polo that looks great all day, check out collarsandco.com. Use promo code Brian for 15% off of any purchase of $100 or more. That's promo code Brian.
¿Hablas español?
¿Sprichst du Deutsch?
¿Kan du norsk?
If you used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based techniques teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/Spotify. Spelled BABBEL.com/Spotify. Rules and restrictions may apply.
With me in studio is a guy that can't be contained, but he has to stay in this studio just for today. Famed survival experts, best known for its Discovery Channel Man vs. Wild, also Running Wild with Bear Grylls, author of several best-selling books, including The Greatest Story Ever Told, An Eyewitness Account, which was released back in July, but now it's getting the attention it deserves. And now you're in studio. Bear, great to see you.
Nice to be with you.
Now, there's a lot of people think they have the greatest story ever told. What is the greatest story that you are telling in this book?
Yeah, so this is... So first of all, I still have my day job.
Right. You know, survivalist.
Yeah. We've just finished filming season 9, Running Wild. Love all of that. That is kind of my day job. But I've always, through it all, had like a quiet Christian faith that has helped me through my life, through many jungles, deserts, mountains. And that's always been there. And I just kind of realized that so few people know the real story of Christ, you know, and myself included. We kind of grow up on stories. Like we might have heard of the Nativity or the Crucifixion or the Good Samaritan, mm-hmm. you know. But the actual whole story is so mind-blowing and so revolutionary. And so
it's
sort of
only
beautiful.
2.5 years, right? That we know of? It's only 2.5 years.
Yeah, 3.5 years. Super short. But I realize that all the millions of books written over the centuries, over the millennium, nobody's ever written the story of Christ start to finish as a thriller. Theologically accurate, but written as a thriller. You have the Bible,
right?
But people struggle to read the Bible. I struggle to read the Bible. And if you're not someone of faith, you're definitely going to not probably read the Bible. So I thought, let's do it, you know? And it's like, I've done lots of things in my life that people respond to, but I've never done anything that's come close to this. The response I get to this, I get people writing to me from every country, every culture, every faith, from Muslims to Hindus, to writing to me going, I had no idea of the real story.
Well, how do you know you have the real story? What were your sources?
The eyewitness accounts. So the greatest story ever told. And by the way, it's not, the title isn't maybe the greatest story. You know, this, if it's true, it changes everything because it affects how we live our lives, how we interact, our relationships, our confidence, our aspirations. And so we went back to the sources, and I write it from the five people that knew him best, from his mother to Thomas to Peter to John, and then eventually Mary Magdalene, very broken girl at the end, and write their responses. Why do the people who knew him best, everyday people, fight just to be close to him? Why would they wash his feet with tears of joy? Why would they fight to get through the crowd just to touch his cloak? And yet the religious elite fear this guy so much. And I went to Israel. I took a tent, a motorbike, and a parachute, and a couple of buddies. And we traveled through. This was like a few weeks before
October
parachute?
The 7th.
Took a parachute.
Oh, do you well,
because it's not an adventure without a paraglider and a parachute.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
Actually, I got to... That was a dream come true. You know, when I have to skydive a lot for my job, and I always get really nervous doing it ever since... I broke my back in the military in a free fall accident. It's a hard thing for me to do. And I always, when I go out the door of that plane, I'm always like, I just quietly cross myself and go, be with me, you know, like help.
Yeah.
Just because I've like, for me, it's hard to do.
And then for one thing, you got to be saluted for doing something you fear and doing it anyway.
Well, it's the only way in life. It's like, otherwise, if you run the other way, the green monkey gets bigger on our back, you know. Anyway, the point of the story is, I did get to do this. I'm looking at from a little plane, open the door, and I see the Sea of Galilee underneath me. And that was a dream come true, because I'm always saying, when I go out that door, be with me. So I actually kind of got to do that moment over the Sea of Galilee, which was quite cool.
Wow.
But my point is, that journey, like, changed me in so many ways, you know. And I think we all grow up with such a sanitized version of Christianity. It's nice and smiley, and Jesus is meek and mild and white robes.
It's there to teach you the lessons of life, to give you rules to live by in order to have order in society.
And yet here was this guy who came to get rid of religion and to break so many rules and to bring life, and talked about living water and the bread of life, and was freeing people everywhere and healing people. And it's like, hold on, that guy is so different to what I grew up learning about kind of religion as such. And that's why, you know, we were chatting beforehand, you know, and you say you're a sort of religious person, a Christian. So I kind of struggle with those words sometimes, because I don't know, for me, faith is kneeling down humbly, asking for Christ's help in our lives to give us strength for the everyday. You know, that to me is church. You know, I actually don't go to church very much. You know, that for me is my faith. And I try and keep it simple. And the goal of this book is to introduce people to the actual person of Jesus rather than just the religion around.
So you talk to the people that talk to him. Is Paul one of the people?
No. So this is just the closest eyewitness accounts. And, you know, it says on the back of the book, there is more, it's a great Billy Graham quote. He said, there's more evidence that this story is true than there is that Julius Caesar ever even lived. You know, so we go right back to the sources, strip away all the religion. I don't change a single word that Jesus said through the sources of the New Testament. We write it as a thriller. I mean, somebody wrote to me the other day and said, this is like Tom Clancy's been tasked with writing the Jesus story. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's a compliment, but it's a good description. You know, it's like, why was it so radical? And here you go.
You said that Jesus drank.
For sure. I mean, like, you know, his first miracle was at a wedding with some friends in a little village, and they were partying and having a great time, and they run out of booze, and his mum sees a problem. And, you know, bear in mind, Jesus is 30 at this stage, and Mary's been told from the beginning that her son is going to be the Son of God, you know, and she's kind of waiting. And she's the one nudging him, going, Jesus, they run out of booze. And he's kind of like, he says, it's not my time. You can almost imagine that's a line. Mum is not, but leave me alone. It's not my time. She goes, just do it. He goes again, it's not my time. And then eventually, it's a great interaction. People don't know about it.
Well, how did you know about it?
Because I read the Bible like four or five times.
And also you hung out with the people from The Chosen.
And we worked with these incredible theologians from The Chosen, and we stripped everything back and down. But eventually Mary just turns, she ignores Jesus. She turns to the service and just says, do whatever he says. And he then and he transforms, like, I think it's like 260 gallons of well water, boom, into wine, you know. So in terms of, like, I never realized Jesus was that sort of guy. You know, the Pharisees, the main accusation they had against him is that he was a glutton and a drunkard. That's not the Jesus I kind of, like, you know.
I thought it's because they say that he claimed to be the Son of God, and that was blasphemy.
Well, that became ultimately why they wanted to kill him. But what they were so upset against initially is that he was hanging out with the lowlife and the everyday and the prostitutes and the tax collectors, the despised and the outcasts. And they're going, what are you doing? Why are you washing these people's feet?
And what's your answer to that? What did you find out?
Because he came to turn all of that stuff on his head and to say the kingdom of God belongs to everybody, not just the religious elite. There's nothing you can do to earn this. That's like why I say my faith is on my knees, head bowed, going, forgive me and help me today.
Right.
In my struggles, be with me. Amen. You know, that's what Jesus means. It literally means he who saves. And That's a journey, because a lot of us like to do the earning in life. You know, we like to do our best and earn our way.
So why didn't he save himself?
Because he took our place. That's the beautiful bit. You know, of course he can. I mean, surely that's one of the great miracles. Why not? That's the thief on the cross next to him saying, mocking him, going, you saved others. You can't even save yourself. You know, if you're God, surely you can save yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But he was taking our place. And the guy I relate to most in all of the Bible, having read this thing, was the other thief on the cross on the other side, who says, do you have no respect? This guy has done nothing. We deserve to die. He's done nothing. And then he looks at Jesus and says, just remember me. And there's a beautiful bit where you can just imagine Jesus lifting his head up through the blood and spit and pain and suffocation of crucifixion, and looks at him and says, today you will be with me in paradise. And that's us on the cross. I like that, because I don't know a lot of the religious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a little bit like the thief on the cross who just knows, like, just remember me, be with me today.
Well, not anymore. Now you have to be one of the world's experts.
I don't feel like that. I don't feel like that. I really don't. I feel like, I still feel it day one.
Well, for example, who chronicled that dialogue?
Which dialogue?
The dialogue
that's straight out of the Bible. That's straight out of eyewitness accounts, multiple eyewitness accounts.
Okay. And, but like multiple people, was Mary there?
Yeah, for sure. She was one of two women at the foot of the cross. In fact, everyone else had fled. You know, so his closest weren't even there.
So when people betrayed him, how does that fit into the story as you researched it? If they really believed who he was, why would they do that?
Because they were scared, and I love that. And it's like their humanness. I mean, I always, again, I'm coming at this fresh, so I'm no, like, expert. But what I learned is that, like, they were just, these disciples who fled, they were terrified, and they all couldn't understand. He kept saying, we're going to go out to Jerusalem, and I will be handed over, and I will be tortured, and then I will be killed for you. And it's like they kept thinking maybe he's talking riddles. Maybe he's like, and then when it did happen, you're right, they fled. They're like terrified. And I kept thinking, I always had this image of all the apostles and, you know, these bearded, wise, great men. They were aged 15, 15 to 25. Matthew, Mark, Peter, you know, 15 to 23, they reckon.
Wow.
Was their average age. They were scared kids with little education from a backwater town up in the north.
But what I've also told by people is that if you want to be convinced, if you want proof, is how they changed after the resurrection. Because what they see 3 days later changed them, because then they realize this story is real and we're going to spend the rest of our life
telling. Something transformed them into now the greatest movement the world's ever seen in terms of a revolution of love that shaped our world for 2,000 years. But something happened. I mean, the interesting bit at the end of the book that people seem to really respond to is then I take through what happened to each of those disciples. And every single one of them apart from one.
Don't give it away. Don't give it away. We'll have more with Bear Grylls. His book is now out. It's called The Greatest Story Ever Told, an eyewitness account, which is the life of Jesus really encompassing those 3.5 years. Don't move.
This is the best of Brian Kilmeade.
Recently, a close friend of mine experienced an unexpected loss. Watching their family struggle emotionally and financially made me stop and think seriously about my own family's future. As the primary provider, I know how important it is to make sure that if anything ever happened to me, my family would still be able to manage. So I realized that without life insurance, my family would be left with overwhelming financial burdens. I looked into coverage before, but the process always felt complicated, got endless forms, phone calls, and medical exams, made everything take weeks. So that's why Ethos stood out to me. Their process is simple and 100% online. There's no medical exam required, just a few health questions, and you get a quote in as little as 10 minutes. In many cases, you can even receive same-day coverage without ever leaving your house. Ethos offers up to $3 million in coverage, with some policies starting as low as $2 a day, billed monthly. It's a trustworthy company that's changing the way people think about life insurance. So protect your family's financial future with life insurance from Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Brian. That's ETHOS.com/Brian. Application times may vary. Rates may vary.
Hi, everyone. It's Brian Kilmeade here. Are you tired of those uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under a sweater? If so, then you must check out Collars & Co., makers of the Dress Collar Polo. Listen up. These shirts are four-way stretch, buttery soft polos with firm dress collars on them, so they give you the dress shirt look, but extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them with anything, under a sweater, with a blazer, or by themselves as an elevated polo. They work for any occasion. These polos are perfect, whether it's in the office, on a golf course, or a night out. Collars & Co. is exploding and have gone viral on social media thanks to the $1 million investment they received on Shark Tank from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones. You don't have to worry about collars that flop down and spread out. They stay firm and sharp all day. It's an amazing array of sweaters, quarter zips, pants, and outerwear. If you're looking for the performance dress shirt or polo that looks great all day, check out collarsandco.com. Use promo code Brian for 15% off of any purchase of $100 or more. That's promo code Brian.
There's plenty of potassium in a goat's testicle and about 135 unadulterated calories. Well, that's definitely a first for me.
Got him. And these are just fine to eat, absolutely raw. Now if I just grab the tail of this, give it a twist one way, twist the other way, it should then just be able to pull out its guts. That's the stuff I don't want to eat. But then the rest of this is fine to eat. Not the head, but body's nice. Better cooked, but nice raw.
So set the scene, Bear Grylls. What was that about?
Well, I couldn't see it. All I can hear, of which my memory is, there have been an awful lot of those moments with a twist and a pull,
yeah,
and out come the guts and in go the rest of the crunch for some protein. So I don't know, that could have been, I couldn't see the pictures. Was it cricket or grasshopper or?
It was a shrimp? Okay.
Oh, sure. Well, that was one of the good ones.
Right. You don't care what you eat. You'll do anything. Because you got to survive.
I'm not like that in everyday life, but survival's not pretty. You need energy. You got to eat. You got to survive.
Who taught you this? Who taught you how to survive?
Well, my dad was a former Royal Marines commando. I mean, he died sadly too young, but he was just such a lovely dad and always taking me out, taught me to climb at a young age, loved the outdoor stuff. And then in the British Special Forces, after I left school, I joined the army, spent 4 years there. And my job there was a combat survival and all the climbing and the skydiving. So that's sort of where I refined it. And then ever since then, you know, we've been traveling and doing this job, you know, we've done hundreds and hundreds now of these adventures and episodes.
When did you realize this could be a great TV show?
I think that's probably still a work in progress. I don't think I necessarily feel it's that brilliant. I love my job. I love the crew we work with. It gets great recognition and people are so kind about it. So I don't know. It's been a privilege. If I could have, you know, if you could speak to the 7-year-old me and say you can have a job that involves getting muddy and falling out of trees, right, and jumping off stuff, I would have thought, bring it on.
When you parachuted, what was the situation where you landed on the ground? Did the chute just not open?
It did open, but it had a tear in it, and I just came down really fast and broke my back in three places and had to leave the military, spent months in rehabilitation and try to rebuild my life from the ground up, you know, and got a chance to, I mean, what I wanted to do again was to climb. You know, that became the whole focus of my recovery in hospital. I was going to be able to reach the bathroom across the room, and then I was going to reach the bathroom on the floor above, and I'd start small and I'd start to walk and then run and then climb. And the dream one day was to try and climb Everest. And I got to eventually be part of a small team of soldiers on that mountain. We had four climbers who lose their lives tragically up there, but two of us reached the top and changed my life
on
in so
your
many
trip.
Ways.
Four people died on your trip in Mount,
yeah,
Everest.
Yeah, two died of the cold, two fell.
Because we just had a whole group trapped on Mount Everest, like last week,
that.
I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's still a big old dangerous mountain. You know, obviously more people climb it nowadays, and technology gets better, and forecasting gets better, and gear gets better. But it's still, it's Mother Nature, and I think I've learned over a lifetime of that. When Mother Nature turns, it doesn't matter how big or brave or strong you are, you got to respect it. Otherwise, it's going to kick you hard.
How's your back today?
But, like, always pretty sore. But you know what? I kind of like, I don't want to arrive at the end of my life in a perfectly preserved body. What a waste.
Right.
So, like, these are just reminders that life has been a great adventure and you've got to keep living it, facing forward, front foot forward, all in, be a never give upper, and a few scrapes and scratches, scars and backaches. So, part of the journey.
So Bear Grylls had this project. He wanted to tell the story of Jesus, and he wanted to see it through the people that knew him. And it's all in this book called The Greatest Story Ever Told. So how long did it take you until you put it into writing into a book? And what was the publisher's reaction when you told them that you wanted to do this?
Well, it was quite a long process because you got to get it right. This one you can't screw up. You know, you're telling the story of our Lord.
At least you have to be earnest.
So we worked with an incredible team of theologians on this, and actually we ended up like rewriting it about four or five times over. But at the end, it stands up, and I get even theologian professors writing to me from around the world, and I'm always like nervous to open their mail. But time they go, good job. So it's and at the end of the day, the story is timeless. The story was he was changing lives every day around him 2,000 years ago. And the story when people encounter the real story today, it changes lives left, right, and center. And I see it. And I feel this book is actually no longer my book. I feel it's like got a life of its own there. It's out there now. And the like I said, the response has been unlike anything I've ever had before. I'd give up every Emmy and Everest Summit and all these sort of things in a heartbeat just to have done this one.
All right, Bear, I'm sure it's going to continue to sell incredibly well. Pick it up. Greatest story ever told, especially with Christmas just around the corner. What better story to tell, right? An eyewitness account. Bear, thanks so much. Appreciate it. You can follow him at Bear Grylls, G-R-Y-L-L-S. Thanks, Bear. Great to see you.
Thanks, Brian. Take
care. Brian Kilmeade Show.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.